Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. Retired seminary professor Fred Craddock was preaching on this very parable that we've heard this morning, the prodigal son. After the service, a man said to Mr. Craddock, "I really didn't care much for that, frankly." Craddock asked why. The man said, "Well, I guess it's not really your sermon. I just didn't like the story." Craddock asked, "Well, what is it about it you didn't like?" He said, "It's not morally responsible." Craddock asked, "Well, what do you mean by that?" "Forgiving that boy," said the man. Craddock asked, "Well, what would you have done?" The man said, "I think when he came home, he should have been arrested." "This fellow was serious," says Craddock. "He's an attorney." Craddock thought that the man was going to tell him a joke, but he was really serious. The man, according to Craddock, belonged to this unofficial organization. It's nationwide. It never has any meetings. It doesn't even have a name. And I'm sure you are aware of it. It's a very strong network. Craddock calls it quality control people. They're the moral police. So Craddock wrapped up the conversation by saying, "Well, what would you have given the prodigal?" The man said, 6 years. Quality control people. Moral police. This man wanted the same strict standards that apply to the industry or to law to apply to relationships within a family, as well as our relationship with God. Mandatory sentences, no parole, and executions. I am so glad that this man that Fred Craddock was talking to wasn't my dad. Jesus was telling a parable about God. What would you want God to do, operate with? Would you want God to operate with mandatory sentences for doing wrong? Be careful how you answer. We've all done wrong. It's one of the best known stories in Scripture. "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." It's a wonderful story of grace, not of judgment. I read about a woman named Michelle. Back in 1990, Michelle's son, Jeff, moved to Arizona to work as a computer technician. Michelle lived back in Portland, Oregon, and she looked forward to her son Jeff's calls every week. But after a few years, Jeff's phone calls began to taper off. When Michelle's letters to him were returned to her unread, she decided she'd better investigate. Michelle found out from Jeff's friends that he'd become addicted to crystal meth. One day, Jeff had just walked away from his house. No one knew where he was. For the next 3 years, Michelle made it her mission in life to find her son. She flew back and forth from Oregon to Arizona, canvassing Jeff's friends, his old neighborhood, talking to anyone, his old associates. The police offered no help at all. Michelle's quest to find her drug-addicted son led her to dangerous, run-down neighborhoods. She witnessed horrible decay and poverty in these drug-infested hellholes. She faced constant threats to her safety. At one point, Michelle even dressed as a homeless woman in order to relate to the street people that she was interviewing, hoping that they would trust her. Finally, after 3 years, Michelle made contact with someone who knew Jeff. She remembers distinctly the day she found him. Jeff rode up to her on a bicycle. He had lost weight, his teeth were rotting, he was bruised from a recent beating, but he, having heard that his mother was looking for him, had ridden a bicycle for 10 miles in the sweltering summer Arizona heat to find her. They ran into each other's arms. Jeff said he'd been trying to fight his addiction, but he'd been afraid to contact his mother, afraid how his addiction might eventually affect her. You will be happy to know that Jeff moved back to Oregon with his mother, got a steady job, and joined Narcotics Anonymous. It's a story, my friends, that is repeated far too often in families across our land. Many, many parents in every echelon of society wait and worry about a son or a daughter who has wandered into the far country. Many years ago, comedian Shonda Pierce met a young woman named December. December's father was a pastor. December got the message early on that pastor's children are supposed to be perfect. December knew she would never be good enough for the people at her father's church. So December began rebelling against her family's and her church's expectations. By her late teens, she was living on the streets. She spent her nights partying, going home with anyone who would take her. Sometimes she would slip into her parents' church during the service, but she always left before anyone could talk to her. After she became pregnant, December decided to return to her parents. She expected shame and condemnation. Instead, December's parents welcomed her back with open arms. And she says, "The bottom line is this. I came back to my family and to God because they love me with no strings attached. They forgave me. I thought I could do something to make them disown me, but I was wrong." It literally could happen in any family. And nothing will tear your heart out like a child who leaves home and nothing is heard from him or her again. There's a book I came across a couple of years ago. It was written in Appalachia, and it includes ghost stories. Some of them kind of scary, some of them kind of funny, some of them eccentric, some just plain tragic. One of them was this. In Henderson County, North Carolina, they tell the story of the ghost that haunts Mount Hebron Church Road. People say that on some nights, if you travel down Mount Hebron Road, you might catch a glimpse of a woman dressed in all black clothes in the style of a 19th century lady. She seems agitated, and those who've looked into her face say that it is full of sadness and full of longing. Anyone foolish enough to try to confront her soon realizes that they're now all alone on the road, the woman seemingly vanished. Some believe that the apparition is the ghost of a widow who lost her beloved son in the Civil War. This woman, according to theory, has never reconciled herself to his death. So she wanders up and down Mount Hebron Church Road looking for his carriage, waiting for his return from the battlefield. She is doomed to live out her grief and disappointment every night as she realizes that, once again, her son has not come back. That's a pretty simple ghost story, but it is the horror of every parent, is it not? A child who does not return home, the child addicted to drugs, or in a destructive relationship, or in jail. Some parents know what it is to watch helplessly as their adult child deals with an abusive spouse. The child is not the prodigal, but a victim. But still the parent waits and worries. And then there are those who are off serving in the military. They too are not prodigals, but it's still hard for those who wait for their return. Everyone who's a parent can appreciate the agony of the father in Jesus' parable, even if your child's still at home. That is why this story has spoken to literally millions and millions of people throughout the ages. It strikes at the very heart of what it is to be family. Of course, in Jesus' story, you and I are the prodigal. Like we say in the prayer, each of us in our own way, like sheep, have gone astray. At some time in our lives, all of us have known what it is to be lost. There was kind of a funny true story a few years ago out of Oslo, Norway, about a 50-year-old man named German Skotsgard. German was going to move into his new apartment, and he took a break in the moving to get something to eat. He went to a nearby cafe, but forgot to take his wallet with him. His wallet contained his new address. Regrettably, he was unable to find his way home. "This is embarrassing," he told the newspaper a month later. He hoped that by putting this in the newspaper, word of his plight would reach his new landlady, to whom he'd already paid 6 months' rent. German literally had lost his way from home. In Jesus' story, we, you and I, are the prodigal. And the Father, of course, is God. It's unique to Jesus that he taught his followers to call God Abba, Daddy. God is like a daddy who runs out to welcome a son or a daughter home. Our relationship with God is very intimate. It's a relationship of utter dependence, one of love, one of acceptance. My friends, you and I need to refocus our lives on God this Lent, whether we've strayed only a few baby steps away or whether we've taken our inheritance and gone into far country. The key, my friends, to regaining our lives is to lose them in trusting God in all things. God's grace is sufficient. God's love is everlasting. Trust God. Amen.